This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Addy Company Alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Here we go. Hour number two. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Tiger Woods, you're killing me, man. After I pump you up, by the way, I stand by what I said yesterday. I'm not going to back off that. It will still equate to the greatest American sporting comeback in the history of our country once he wins a major, which he will.
About the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. It's okay.
But he,
not a major right now.
Although he wins a lot there. He's won eight times there, so that could actually make it worse.
Spread the wealth. Wanted someone else to win there.
Or just an amazing comeback tomorrow. Give everybody a thought that they could win and then just sabotage him late.
Yeah,
could do that.
Hit like a 62.
Oh, my God. That'd be crazy. That'd be sick. But he did bogey nine. I wasn't sure. He bogeyed nine. Yep. So Tiger is plus two on the day. He is tied for 25th. He is minus two, sagging a little bit. We'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, keep an eye on all the scores. Look who's back in studio. We need some answers, need some info. He's all over. John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, writes for FanRag as well. He's all over the place. He's pumping out articles. He's calling coaches. He's calling contacts. And our first question, aside from how are you, buddy? What's happening?
Good to see you guys.
You too, man. Sean Miller. If Arizona believes that he's truly clean, and I don't know the answer to that, and I don't pretend to, when it comes to this stuff, I use common sense, and I believe that he's dirty, and I've said that. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. But if Arizona believes he's truly clean from a basketball point of view,
right,
is there any grounds to fire him for this latest tournament failure?
No, not at all.
Because, okay, you say that with great confidence.
Not at all. I mean, if Arizona didn't want Sean Miller as his head coach after what surfaced a couple weeks ago, they would have parted ways with him as head coach and Lorenzo Romar would have coached the rest of the season.
Mm.
That question and answer, I think, went away when he came back and coached the rest of the Pac-12 regular season slate and coached in the Pac-12 tournament.
See, I look at what he's done, and I just want to make sure I don't get this wrong here. And listen, we know that Sean could coach.
Yeah,
he did this at Xavier. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it 5 years at the 8-10,
five
the
8-10,
three regular season tie, whatever he
went
did at
Xavier. Went to one Final Four there.
Won a ton of games. 9 years at Zona. I guess my issue is when, and I don't know that's necessarily fair because it is random. There's a randomness to the tournament. I understand that, John. But, you know, when you average basically 30 wins a season, as he has for the last 6 or 7 years, and you're not going deeper with frequency, I don't know that the regular season success is commensurate with what you should expect.
All right, well, let's go back then and look at what Sean Miller has done at the University of Arizona. He went to three Elite Eights at the University of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
One Elite Eight in 2011 came down to the last possession, and Jamel Horn for Arizona missed a shot on the final possession, one shot away from the Final Four. In 2014, he takes Arizona to a regional final after Brandon Ashley, one of their starters, broke his foot and still, on the last possession, had a chance to beat Wisconsin, and then Nick Johnson got called for an offensive foul. In 2015, Sean Miller goes to an Elite Eight, and Arizona runs into an avalanche in the second half when Decker and Kaminsky and company make an excess of double-digit three-point shots. And then, that doesn't take into account going to a Sweet 16 in 2013, losing to Ohio State on the last possession when LaQuinton Ross makes a three, and also losing to Xavier last year in a situation where the game also went to the last possession. I can tell you this. It was very important for Sean Miller to be the head coach of Arizona, just like it was very important initially for Rick Pitino to stay the head coach at the University of Louisville because it was good for business. Arizona basketball has to flourish. Arizona basketball needs to have fans in the seats. And Arizona is well aware that before Sean Miller and after Lute Olson, there were some tense times in Tucson because it felt like the brand and the product were going on a downward trajectory.
Yeah, but
so
now,
Arizona made a decision to retain him for that reason.
But, John, the narrative now shifts to he can't win in the big moments. And when you get beat by Buffalo, now maybe you're going to tell me more about Buffalo than I need to know. But they lost by 21 to Buffalo in the first round.
I mean,
no question. But I'm just telling you this. In 2013, the narrative was that Sean Miller couldn't win the big one. I didn't.
But did they have the best player in the country that year?
That year, they didn't have the best player in the country, but they had Aaron Gordon, who was the third or fourth player in the draft. They had Rhonda Hollis Jefferson. They had Nick Johnson. So in 2013. I did an interview for CBS with Sean Miller, and I asked him, how often do you think about going to a Final Four? And he said, probably every 10 or 15 minutes. This was in 2013. So nobody is more aware of the elephant in the room than Sean Miller. But if Arizona, based on everything that transpired, was hesitant about him being their basketball coach, they would not have retained him after he sat out that game against Oregon.
Good point. Tell me about Georgia. Tom Crean decides to take this job. Mm-hmm. At least it looks like he's going to take this job at Georgia. Why is
I just listened to his press conference.
Oh, he did take it. Yeah. So why is this the right next move for him?
Well, for Georgia's perspective, you keep pace with the SEC because the SEC has continued to add coaches with high pedigree. Ben Howland at Mississippi State, Avery Johnson at Alabama, Rick Barnes at Tennessee. The interesting thing about Georgia, and a high prominent Division I coach told me this a couple weeks ago, if Billy Donovan went to Georgia and didn't go to Florida, Georgia would be Florida. And this is why, and it's Tiki, this is right in your wheelhouse because it's in the same type of region. Georgia is similar to Maryland in the sense where you may not have to get on a plane to recruit. You can get to in Atlanta in between an hour and a half. If you're good in Atlanta, you're going to be good. And the academic requirements are not nearly as stiff as what you see at Georgia Tech. Everybody in college basketball has always felt that Georgia's a sleeping giant. But I just look right now at the landscape of the SEC and the coaches that are in this league. Mm-hmm. Like, this league got eight teams in the NCAA tournament. You look at this league, too. LSU and Mississippi State are playing in the NIT. And this week, and I wrote about this in my column today, Tom Crean went to Georgia, and Kermit Davis, who has won games in the last two NCAA tournaments.
Look who he beat, by the way.
Look who he beat. Yeah. Is at Ole Miss. So think about the SEC right now. It's a basketball league.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
They're trying to make it a basketball
exactly.
league.
Yeah, John Rothstein with us here in studio, which is nice. Next segment as well, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. John, our College Hoops insider, fan rag as well. Must follow on Twitter. You know, you and I were talking about this before we came on the air during the commercial break, but I want to bring the Danny Hurley conversation to the air. Mm-hmm. You know, the general, and Gary Parish talked about this as well, the general consensus is that it's either UConn or Pitt. Makes sense. I mean, at some point, you're probably going to have to jump from Rhode Island. We saw today mass exodus if they get their wish. Everybody looking to get their release from Pitt. Okay.
But is it a big story if a team has a mass exodus that went 0-19 in ACC?
Not really. No, I'll tell you what, John.
Because I was told from people that obviously were involved, Pitt was going to need a new roster anyway because half those players aren't good enough.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm Hurley or whomever, I almost think it's more appealing that there's nobody else's, I would never use the word trash, but leftover players.
Well, also, they ask for the release. Asking for a release is, and I don't want to say you see this with every time a head coach is hired, but coaches always deal with players that are disgruntled and, I might be out of here. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the press conference comes and you have one team meeting, 90% of those kids have a different theme.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's fair. Yeah. Listen, kids will change their thoughts and their minds as often as the weather changes. Right. They have to expect it.
Right.
But my question is this. If you're Danny Hurley, is there a job next year? Because UConn's got great pedigree. Yeah. It's in a it's not the Big East anymore. And Pitt, a great conference, but an uphill battle from where they are. If he holds out for one more year, is there a more prominent job that might open next season?
Well, let's right now look at all the potential scenarios right now for Dan Hurley, who has made Rhode Island, given the landscape of things, the flagship program in the Atlantic 10. Mm-hmm. There is nobody right now who has seen their stock rise more over the last week than Dan Hurley, and there's nobody in college basketball in terms of coaches that is in a better position. I am told that Pitt is willing to pay a head coach in excess of $3 million potentially to be their next head coach. Pitt is not the same job that it was in the Big East. You're in the ACC. It's going to be very difficult to build a perennial contender in the conference, especially when you consider the fact that the geographic footprint that was used to recruit in the old Big East is really no longer available because you don't play at Rutgers, Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova, or UConn. With that said, Dan Hurley also made a hire on his staff last year that was the former Quinnipiac head coach and former top UConn assistant to Jim Calhoun, who is Tom Moore. That hire, obviously, if you're connecting the dots right now, is a direct link to the situation at UConn. And I am told by a lot of people close to the situation that if Dan Hurley were to take, obviously, the UConn job, he would embrace the idea of having Jim Calhoun around because he lived through that with his father. it's a very similar situation. And this is another thing you have to understand.
I miss Jim Calhoun coaching.
No, the best.
I love that.
The
college
best.
Basketball misses
the,
him.
The best. But,
he was great.
But this is another thing, you know, I think we need to look at. The American Conference has three teams in the NCAA tournament, two have advanced. This league got three teams in the NCAA tournament, okay, without getting any mileage out of UConn, without getting any mileage out of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if all of a sudden your brand name programs can be in a situation where, for all intents and purposes, you're getting mileage out of them, this is a 4 or 5 bid league, which is equivalent to the Pac-12, which is close to the Big East. It's not like dealing with what you're dealing with in the ACC. Now, here's another thing. Dan Hurley, because of what he's going to have thrown on his table by Pitt or UConn, is going to put pressure on Rhode Island if it wants to maintain the same caliber of basketball. In the same way, he's going to put pressure on Rhode Island, the same way Shaka Smart used to put pressure on VCU when he turned down Illinois and Marquette and jobs like that, and the same way Archie Miller put pressure on Dayton when he turned down Marquette and Wake Forest. So even if Dan Hurley wanted to, he could pass these opportunities, wait for a greener pasture, double his salary potentially, and return a Rhode Island team that would be anchored by Jeff Doughton, Fats Russell, and Cyril Langevin.
What job would be open theoretically next season?
Look, does Rhode Island have those resources, Jeff?
That's the million-dollar question right now. But
like a $3 million
question. Got to get that booster.
Look, I'm just giving you all scenarios, but he has put himself in a position where he's probably going to have his pick over a job at UConn or a job at Pittsburgh, or he can stay in the Atlantic 10 and do what Greg Marshall did at Wichita State and do what Shaka Smart did at VCU before going to Texas. And I bet you if Shaka was thinking about it again, he might have stayed at VCU instead of going to Texas, and what Archie Miller did at Dayton. And that's the thing. You look at what happened when you're talking about resources. Do you ever think that we'd be talking about Wichita State paying a coach $3.3 million a year?
No.
And the game's changed. The game has changed,
so... That's right. Something, you know, all things.
You still haven't given me a name, though, for next year, maybe. A big school.
Well, you know,
somebody
told me a long time ago it's never a good idea to speculate on speculation, so I'm not going to
That's what we do here.
I'm just giving you the facts.
All right. He's getting all worked up. Look at him. We got to hit neutral for one second.
Right.
We know you got a million things to say, and you'll get a chance to get it out there, we promise.
You mentioned Memphis. Penny, it's happening?
Look, I reported 2 days ago that Penny Hardaway was working on a contract with Memphis. So you guys know how this works. Things could fall apart at the last minute, but barring anything unforeseen, Penny Hardaway, a.k.a. Butch McRae, as he was in Blue Chips, is going to be the next head coach at the University of Memphis.
And
this is something that I want to say right now because I think it needs to be said. I understand the politics involved in this and obviously, you know, the importance of filling FedEx Forum and putting people in seats and recruiting at a higher level. You just fired a coach that won 21 games, and his point guard got hurt, and maybe his best player in the last month of the season, a coach that's won a national championship, and a coach that has taken 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. And I will say this, the classiest person, among the top 5 classiest people I've ever come across in my life.
He's a star.
Yeah. And you're firing him. Somebody's never coached at the college level before. I understand the optics. Mm-hmm. I understand the importance of having a famed alum come back and coach and what comes with that. But this is a major, major risk with no guarantees whatsoever that it's going to work out. And PR-wise, it's going to be well. Once Memphis loses that first bye game, going to be a different breed of cattle.
Although we thought Ewing was going to lose some of those bye games. He didn't lose it.
Good basketball
Patrick
coach.
Can coach. Yeah.
He is a good basketball coach.
We said that a few times. I'm happy you said that about Tuppy Smith as well. Teak and I echo the same thing.
He's an unbelievable person.
Where's he going to land?
He might retire at this point, right?
I mean, if you were Tubby and you've coached all these years and you get 10 to walk away, I mean, go to Miami.
You know what, though? It's not about the money. You love coach. You love throwing something on the grease board. You love going to the gym. It's about coaching.
You know what I mean?
You know that.
I hear you.
All right, let's get a quick timeout. Coming up next, we want to get all the coaching news out of the way. The bracket.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last night?
Yeah, what happened
today?
What happened to John's bracket?
Somebody had Arizona, so did I.
Yeah.
Adam going to
well,
the
look,
Final
I mean,
Four
you
as
think
well.
About
oh,
it.
Here comes
it,
the excuse.
No,
I'm
saying,
here we go.
I'm saying, usually you say, well, like the teams that have the best pros are going to have a chance to go the furthest in the tournament.
Unless those
the guy
teams.
Who's the best probably college player in terms of his ability as a freshman in 25 years was on the team.
Well, you know what? We
sometimes those pros are thinking about going pro instead of thinking about the NCAA tournament.
No question.
We should learn our lesson. A team whose best player is a big If you fall behind, you can't control the game.
Good point.
That's what college is all about, the guards. Bad matchup. All right, Tiki and Tierney, we'll hit the brackets, what we expect to happen tonight. John's here for another full segment. Get some tweets at Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coming up, Tiki, we got to slip in a little NBA. The Cavaliers, Tyronn Lue, and LeBron throwing zingers at each other across the bench. I love it.
Yeah, and LeBron's missing Kevin Love. Yes. Oh, poor baby.
Kevin Love, one of the only two assets on the entire roster before they reconfigured, and everybody made him out to be the reason why they weren't doing well. The guy's hitting 42% of his three-point shots. He's 6'11", and he could rebound, and he plays every night before he got hurt.
Don't need
him. Yeah, he's the problem.
Don't need him.
Yeah, you don't need him. Carolina's up by 13. Lipscomb, however the hell you say that. I know that piece kind of slips into the S. 13-point lead midway through the second. And Arkansas made a little late run there, so Butler and Arkansas in the 7-10 matchup, the Bulldogs are up by 5. That's at the half. John Rothstein is with us here in studio. As you can see, if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, John is our CBS Sports College Basketball Insider. Great access and great info on the coach's previous segment. Nicely done. Also writes for FanRag.
Now tell me, John, why will Bucknell have no chance against Michigan State, who you have winning it all?
Well, Bucknell, to me... It's amazing.
You like how I flipped that question on you.
Sunday at 1 o'clock, this was the team that I was so confident if it got the right matchup to advance in the round of 64. Their top five scorers are all juniors and seniors. They won 13 of their last 18 games by double figures, and they had a ruthless non-conference schedule. Games at Maryland, North Carolina, and Arkansas that really tested them. And they were competitive. They lost by 6 last year to West Virginia in the round of 64. But they're playing Michigan State in Detroit. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Bucknell is competitive in this game, the same way Georgia State was competitive with Cincinnati. But at the end of the day, you're playing Michigan State in Detroit. But I will say this, the size of Bucknell inside should be able to be defensively competitive. Nana Falland, a high major caliber big man at the five, and also Zach Thomas, a mismatch option at the four. So I expect Bucknell to play well. I don't think they'll beat Michigan State
in
Detroit.
We saw Michigan come out a little bit soft.
Oh, that game was horrific.
It was horrible.
Oh,
they were down 10 zip to start the game.
Surviving advance.
It's like 1952.
Surviving advance, but maybe. But the question, the reason I ask you this is because their Big 12 tournament or the Big 10 tournament was 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
So the rust factor was there.
Early on, for sure.
Yeah, do you think you see that with Michigan State?
There's always a chance, Tiki, and that's really what we're going to find out in the NCAA tournament. We didn't see that at all today with Purdue. We didn't really see it with Ohio State. We'll see. I think Michigan State will be motivated to play in Detroit, and I also think, you know, if you're somebody like Miles Bridges, you came back to school for a chance to be a National Player of the Year candidate and also to go far in the NCAA tournament. The move to the three has not worked out for Miles Bridges and Michigan State like they had hoped. And I've talked with the staff about this the last couple of weeks. The staff at Michigan State likes the idea of playing Miles Bridges more at the four and then putting McQuaid on one wing, Lankford on another wing, and then rotating at the five, either Nick Ward or Jaren Jackson Jr. The problem is for them is if you have Miles Bridges at the four, either Jackson or Ward are on the bench. But this is, to me, is very similar to what happened with Oregon last year. Oregon, when Dylan Brooks came back to school for his junior season, wanted Dylan to have more of an opportunity to play the three. They started the season with Brooks at the three, Chris Boucher at the four, Jordan Bell at the five.
What happened? Now, they do that, and this is just an aside.
What? Yeah, Chris
Bobby
Boucher. Gotcha. They lost to Georgetown in the Maui Invitational.
But so they do this with Dylan Brooks. They do this with
Bridges.
Why? Because they want to play the three. Like, part what's the reason?
Part of the pitch in the spring meetings, and this happens every year, is they say, well, I want to be in a situation right now where I can play what I'm going to play in the league. Well, what you play in the league has nothing to do with what's better for the team that you're playing.
You're
when Dylan Brooks went back Oregon went to a Final Four.
So why should Izzo give a crap?
What I'm confident is going to happen is when push comes to shove and Michigan State needs to advance, that guy's going to be at the four. You know, what's really interesting, through February, about 43% of his field goal attempts were three-point shots. It's way too much.
That is a
lot. What was the percentage?
43 through mid-February.
That's a big number. Yeah. That's a lot. I want to ask you about Xavier. I've gotten a lot of tweets. How can we not give Xavier respect? How can we not give Xavier love? I've got profound respect for that program. I love the Cintas Center. It's a great venue. Max done a great job. I hope he stays there for a long time. We'll see. And they only lost five games this year, and their first loss early was against Bobby Hurley's Sun Devils team when Arizona State was a top five team and they were humming. They were really ripping through people. I know they lost to Villanova. They lost to Providence
twice. Once at the dunk, once in the Big East tournament.
And one was overtime, obviously.
Yeah, and twice to Villanova.
So their resume is sterling. There's no doubt. They've got a future NBA player. How good will he be? I'm not so sure. But Trayvon Blewett's going to be an NBA player, and Chris Mack's a great coach. But I wonder about the experience of being and the expectation of being now a one seed.
Yeah, they've never done it before.
That's what I'm saying. How is it going to be too big for them? How far do you push Xavier through?
You know, Xavier to me is a team that's going through a lot of really what UConn went through with Jim Calhoun before it broke through in 99.
Talking about Tate George days.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, UConn for a long time had been a program on the cusp. Jim Calhoun got to three regional finals before he went to a Final Four.
I see what you're saying.
Similar to what we're talking about with Sean Miller earlier. Yeah. And I think Xavier is a program that can win a national championship, that has a blue chip coach, and obviously has a couple of great college players.
Yeah.
In Blewett, in
Macura.
The two keys for this team in the NCAA tournament is this. If Quentin Gooden plays at a high level, Xavier goes to a high level. And then the third wheel, the guy that can really elevate this program, is Kerem Kanter. Kerem Kanter gives Xavier a pick-and-pop five that can be in a situation to bring the opposing five man away from the basket. Those are the two wild cards for Xavier.
All right. Talk to me about my Virginia Cavaliers. John, obviously
we got some news here, guys.
Always
Purdue, and it is massive. Isaac Haas is out for the season with a fractured elbow.
What does that mean for them?
This is per from Purdue. Oh. Just got to tweet it.
Tell us what that means for him. After
I can tell you what
tweeting.
It means for my bracket. X the Final Four is what it means.
I had them
so
going
I'll be
to
0-4 in the Final Four.
So that right there,
man. As you tweet that, John, go ahead, tweet that real quick. I know you got to do that. So they obviously won today. They get by Cal State Fullerton, who was just happy to be there, understandably so.
Arkansas next.
They'll take on the winner of Butler, Arkansas. They can, I mean, that would, not that that's easy. They can probably get by that.
Oh, no, it's
the
not
door
over
is
yet.
Open right now for the Texas Tech Florida winner to get to a regional final.
It is.
The door is open for the Texas. And, you know, I nickname that the region of stewardship. Because of the point guards in that region. Mm-hmm. You saw it last night with Keenan Evans. You saw it with Chioza. 11 assists to 0 turnovers. Guard play is going to be what pushes a team through in that region. And that's what makes Saturday's game between Villanova and Alabama maybe the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be the best game of the weekend. I hope that it's going to be good. And I think it's going to be. Kansas Seton Hall. Give us a little something on that.
This is, in my opinion, the best coaching job that Bill Self has done at Kansas. The Big 12 was deeper than it's ever been, but this is also an extremely vulnerable Kansas basketball team. And Bill Self came out and said, when Kansas was beaten soundly twice by Oklahoma State, that length and athleticism bother Kansas, because when you look at how Kansas is constructed, it's constructed more like a Villanova team that plays four guards. Yeah. At the three and the four, Kansas doesn't have bigs or forwards. It has Fema Hajduk and LeGerald Vick. Going up against those guys defensively will be Desi Rodriguez, will be Ismael Sanungo. This is an opportunity also for Angel Delgado to exploit what has been a wobbly Udoka Azubuike. This is a difficult matchup for Kansas. And again, Bill Self is a Hall of Fame coach. He's one of the best in the business. He obviously hasn't been as good in the NCAA tournament as he has in the regular season. The game's in Wichita.
Sean Miller.
What?
Just like Sean Miller.
Bill Self has a national championship in the Final Four.
That's different.
But you know,
even more fuel for Sean Miller should be in trouble.
This is a dangerous game for Kansas tomorrow night.
The spread's only 3.5 points, which tells us a little something as well. Seton Hall has a lot of seniors, too. Don't forget
about that. DeAndre Hunter is out for the season, we know. You had Arizona beating Virginia in the Sweet 16. Yep. What does Virginia do now? How do they can't replace him, obviously. Sixth man of the year in the ACC. Mamadi Diakite is a good player. He gets in foul trouble too much. But what does Tony Bennett do?
I don't think we're going to get a glimpse until we obviously see, you know, what happens with Virginia in a closeout situation until we see it in a close game.
Yeah.
We are going to see, you know, a scenario, in my opinion, in which Virginia has to get into a close game and we see what Tony Bennett does with his closeout lineup, because he used to use Hunter alongside Wilkins as your 4 and 5. So for all intents and purposes, I think we're still waiting to see how Virginia handles a tight situation. But the ceiling for Virginia right now is significantly lower without DeAndre Hunter. I know that's not what Virginia fans want to hear, but in a year that was dominated by parity, and we've seen it so far today with the Marshall game, with the Buffalo game, this was going to be an excellent chance for Virginia to win a national championship.
Can Creighton beat them if they're making shots?
And so can Kansas State.
If Creighton even advances.
This is another one I point out. Bruce Weber told me this morning.
Got to make it quick, John.
That Dean Wade, was supposed to be evaluated after shoot-around today. He has been out with a foot injury. If he plays, I like Kansas State to beat Creighton and then have an excellent chance to beat Virginia.
Okay. Tied for 309th in points per game.
Who?
Virginia.
Oh, I know.
309. Yeah,
but they give up 53 a game.
I mean, it's the best defensive team I've ever seen.
Which is number one.
That sucks.
By a lot, by the way. I know it sucks.
I mean, for a team that doesn't have a lot of great depth.
It happens every year, though, BT.
Yeah, do you guys usually?
Justin Hunter or Justin Anderson got hurt. I mean, just every year it happens. Something bad. We're cursed.
John, you're cursed. The team that I cover is cursed. This guy's cursed.
I'm joking.
And number one this year. He's on that side. Come on, this guy's cursed. Look at him. Yeah. Meanwhile, I asked him like 6 years. Hey, I'm like, remember when St. John's played Virginia in the NIT? He's like, no, I don't remember that. When they were an NIT team, he wasn't wearing that Virginia scarf. Man. All good.
I didn't. See you guys Monday.
Okay. Yes.
You excusing yourself?
I gotta take a call.
Okay, go ahead. Go do what you gotta do, man. We're not here to stop you, John. Look at him. Look at him. I love it. He's our chef.
Nonstop.
Phone rings. He picks it up. He goes to work.
Nonstop.
He's a maniac. He's a robot. Nobody knows more about the sport than this maniac. He is a maniac in a good way. There it is, John Rothstein, Fan Rag, ESPN, CBS College Basketball Insider. So let's get the update from Ack. Ack, do you have a Tiger Woods score for us here?
He's a 2-under.
With the look at him. He guys got the score.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. I know you got all the scores from Ack, but I'll give you a little more before we get into Ty Lue and LeBron beefing with each other, or maybe just going through the process. We'll get to the meat of that here. Carolina's up by 16. That game's just about a wrap, about 7 minutes to go there. First TV timeout, Butler up 10 on Arkansas. So Butler's jumped out to a 10-5 start in the second half. They are up by 10, as I said. West Virginia by 5, 14-9 halfway through the first half against Murray State. Texas, this is interesting. A lot of people think Nevada can really go far. Yeah. They got a lot of transfers on that team. It's a 7-10 matchup, so obviously kind of a coin flip. But
true, but they won 27 games this year.
They did. The Longhorns are up 17-10, so Texas looking good early. Everything else is final. I got to tell you this real quick, and then we'll get to the Cavaliers. So I went to Modell's this morning, right? And I got a dozen regulation baseballs, but wiffle balls for Colt.
Okay.
Because now we're starting to really take a little BP. And I got him a new basketball, but the smaller one, but real leather.
Mm-hmm.
And but I went there for one thing, and I think this is an ingenious. Whoever thought of this, this is brilliant. I haven't used it yet with him because he was in preschool, and I just got it today, and I picked him up, and I had to go to work. It's a little bouncy ball, right? Probably a little smaller than a baseball.
Okay.
And it's got different lengths, not quite cones, but like extensions that stick out. So, like, you might have one that is 2 inches, then one that's a half an inch. So it's not a symmetrical. It's kind of like it goes all over the place.
I hear you. So if you drop it, it goes one way or another.
That's the whole point. It's a hand-eye coordination, but like to get you used to bad hops.
That's interesting.
How great
so
is
you,
that?
So you roll it on the ground.
Well, you can bounce it. I mean, I'm not going to fire it too hard because literally it changes direction quick. I was messing around the kitchen with Jen when I got home. I'm like, oh, why didn't I have this thing? I can't wait to just start taking
BP. So Jen was your guinea pig?
Yeah, she always is, and I'm hers. This is the first year, you know, we really start taking a little bit of BP outside. He's 3.
I like it.
We got to get that. We got to get that swing loose.
T-ball is right around the corner.
Yeah, he's got to be better than daddy, which shouldn't be hard. All right, so the Cavaliers. All right, what do we make of this here? Sometimes, it's funny because we went through this with the Lakers tonight before. A little different, not player-coach dynamic, but player-player dynamic. With Randall and Isaiah Thomas, Ty Lue and LeBron, you all saw it, the highlights, and you know if you didn't, just go to CBSSports.com. We have it there. I want to first play the questions a part of this, so we don't need to set this up really. But after we hear from Tyron Lue, want to have a little discussion. I want to get your thoughts on this. Here's Ty Lue with the question: what went down last night with LeBron?
You were
on camera with LeBron kind of going back and forth with one another. What was the content of that exchange?
Oh, no, he just said he asked for a sub, I think, earlier in the quarter. But not to me, he said he told the assistant coaches, but nobody saw that, so it wasn't a big deal.
By the way, you know what's amazing about that? And there's my childhood friend, right a couple of seats away, Mikey Longobardi, their defensive assistant. Actually, their defensive coordinator, Mikey from St. Pat's Parish in Brooklyn, Bay Ridge. Not one player, like, broke stride. They were just staring straight ahead, like... Like when you're like a nun is yelling at you in 1960 Catholic school.
Well, that can be taken in one of two ways. It can either be, all right, we're used to this, and it's nothing, right? Yeah, okay, whatever. This is LeBron barking at Ty Lue.
And you don't think that's what it is, do you?
Of course not.
Okay, because we don't see that too much.
Or it's, dude, I'm not getting involved. I am not getting involved. Mike. I'm not me. Not talking to me. I'm not getting involved. I don't want to. This is drama, and I don't want to be asked a question. I can plausibly deny. I was watching the game.
Right? I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about here. Okay. So, since it did happen.
Yeah.
See, the problem here is that even, you know, sometimes
that looks much more heated of a discussion than I asked to be taken out 2 minutes ago.
See, I actually believe him.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it led to a bad shot. What happened, LeBron wanted out. He was tired.
Can we read his lips? What's he saying? I wish I could read his lips.
He's saying, I'm the coach of this team.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I let you stay around, Tyronn Lue. And usually that kind of blow up, if it's not overly detrimental, it can be a benefit.
Of course.
But see, the problem is LeBron doesn't need any more motivation.
No.
And he's locked in. He's balling every night like he's 25 years old. So... You know, residually, is anybody going to get inspired from that? I'm just beginning to think, which is in stark contrast, to be fair, to my position after the trade, which I loved, and it looks like I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. I got no problem saying that. They looked really good with Hood, and I love the George Hill pick. I really love the Hood pickup, but he's not healthy. They look lost. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not. They don't look good right now. And I don't know that's going to get anything. It's not going to solve anything.
I always ask that question, though. When somebody comes out and it's energizing and it's like, man, we got a whole – it's like a rebirth for us in the middle of the season. And it felt that way. Guys were, you know, crisp. They were moving fast on defense. The ball movement was amazing. Jordan Clarkson was knocking down open jumpers whenever he had a shot.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, teams have seen you now over the last 3 weeks. And, all right, this is how he slowed us down a little bit. So is that on – Is that on teams adjusting? Is it on a lack of coach? I mean, what causes the fallback? Now, we could point to Kevin Love, because Kevin Love hasn't been there for 20 games now, and they're, what, 500, 10-10 since he's been out? Is that many games he's been out? I think it's been a while.
He's been out a while.
I know they're 500. Oh, yeah. I can't remember how many games they played since he's been out. And so they're missing a big component of what made them good, even if we didn't want to acknowledge how important Kevin Love was to this team.
Well, we have. Don't put us into it. You and I have been singing his praises for years.
Collectively,
that's their fault. They don't know basketball.
They don't think about Kevin Love.
Well, they sleep on him. Kevin Love is a baller, man.
Agreed.
Kevin Love
sleep on him. And LeBron, we'll get to it in a second, talked about how much he misses him. But at some point, if you're a good coach and you have talent, because these guys are not untalented, you know what I mean? It's not like... You know, Hood's hurt, but it's not like Rodney Hood is a bad player. Can't create open shots for him. You should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson, same way. He's big and he's tall. He's lengthy. You can do do things with him offensively and defensively. But it seems like it's let's stop and just watch LeBron do what LeBron does. That's bad coaching to me. So when I look at them like yelling at each other back and forth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it probably was about, you know, I wanted to come out a couple minutes early.
That's why I took the bad shot. If you were looking, I would have taken that shot.
That type of thing.
Okay.
I mean, it there's just something amiss that was fixed for the short term.
Yep.
But it obviously was so deep rooted. It's coming back, you know, in the long term. And look, there's only 13 games left, 14 games left. I'm not sure they can figure it out. We can't just have LeBron be LeBron every night, because that's not even working
anymore. It's not working like it used to.
What did he score, 35 last night?
Every night he scores 35.
Whatever it is. Basically. He scored a ton of points.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
No, it has not mattered. I'm happy you brought up Kevin Love. We'll play that cut in a second here, but I do want to connect the dots here, because, and this is where I'm going to defend LeBron with as much vigor, mm-hmm. Or at least as much basketball intelligence as I possibly can. We got to be fair to LeBron. And I think we certainly are, but to be even more fair, to truly illuminate the lack of I'll give you a good example. I'm not a big poker player, just as an analogy.
Nor am I.
Because the game's too slow for me. Honestly, you could just tell. You watch me on TV, I'm all over the place. Yeah, he sits there, and he's got his little computer. I've got papers everywhere. I'm moving. I'm tugging at my shirt. I'm fixing the microphone. I've got my water, my coffee. I move. And when I play poker, and I played last Friday, I told you we had a poker match, I get bored, and I just start. I play hands.
I can see you. Like, hurry the hell up.
I play hands that I don't want to play. Like, I get a 3 and a 5, and I'm like, well, if I get the 4 and a 6, you shouldn't play a 3 and a 5.
No, of course. But
maybe
you don't,
if they're same
but
suit,
you don't
want
to sit out the hand.
I don't want to sit out the hand. Yeah. So the point is, it's not a fun game to me. If I don't get dealt good cards, I'm playing anyway.
Which is why blackjack is BT's game of choice.
Bingo. And Let It Ride's not too bad either. It's kind of off the radar. Let It Ride's pretty good. Bad odds, but a good game. But in terms of being dealt bad cards, nobody's been dealt worse cards than LeBron this
great
year.
Point.
Because every single NBA team that is playing for something meaningful this year has a legitimate star system.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets, Chris Paul, Harden, the Warriors,
and don't forget
three guys.
Capella. Capella's playing fantastic for the Rockets.
True. McCollum and Lillard. Portland's in third place in the West. The Thunder, okay, Carmelo's lost it a little bit, but you got, and say what you will about Russ, but you got Russ and you got Paul George. Minnesota, Jimmy Butler when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, you've got so many pieces here. And then obviously
even the Pelicans with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday, who's having one of the most underrated seasons that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, we haven't given him a whole lot of love.
Not
he's
at all.
Pretty
he
well.
Deserves it.
Yeah, I'm happy you point him out. The Raptors, the Rosen's, you know, top six or top, maybe even better, top five or top six MVP. Lowry's, you know, a good, solid, he's an all-star. The Celtics have Kyrie Irving and Horford and a slew of young future superstars. I mean, the Wizards have Beal. And John Wall when he's healthy. Yeah. The Sixers have Embiid and Simmons. Who does LeBron have?
Yeah.
Who does he really have?
Second leading scorer last night was Kyle Korver, who had to work his way, who had to start.
And if Kyle Korver's number two in anything, your team's going nowhere,
yeah,
with all due respect to Kyle Korver. So this brings us back to Kevin Love.
Yeah.
And is he a superstar? No. Is he a legit all-star? Yeah. And LeBron spoke about this. He needs his guy back. Here's LeBron.
It's been a long time since I haven't played, you know, with another all-star, you know, on my team, you know, so, you know, having Kev out, you know, it's been very, very challenging, obviously, for all of us, you know, Kev is, you know, big usage rate on our team. We get the ball when things get chaotic, we can throw it to him in a low post and get some things going.
What you got till it's gone.
Good song. Good song. Yeah,
really. A month ago, BT. A month ago, they're all complaining about Kevin Love. He's the problem.
They turned on him.
They turned on him. And then he has to go sit down. Then it's justifiable sit down. It's not like he tweaked something in his hamstring. He broke a finger and broke one of the metal tarsals or whatever it is in his hand. And he had to sit down. He had a carpal, I think, in his hand.
Metatarsal, I believe, is the foot. I think metacarpal is the hand, but
I'm not
positive.
A doctor. But anyway,
check that out, these.
But now, here we are. We see, you know, a month later, LeBron James. We need him, right?
Yeah, you're damn right.
I need an all-star. You don't win in the NBA with just one star. It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
And so it's crazy how fortunes change, or how changed fortunes can make you change your attitude about a guy.
How far can they fall? They are the 4 seed right now, and they are getting perilously close.
Yeah.
To having to play Toronto or Boston in round one.
Yeah,
I got it. Do you have it?
I'm just looking at the schedule. The Bulls, they'll beat the Bulls.
No, they'll beat the Bulls.
The Bucks, the Raptors, Suns, Nets, Heat.
They got some wins there, actually.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
They should.
But again, they should have beat the Lakers, and they didn't. They should have beat the Clippers. The Clippers beat them by 14. So, I mean, nothing's really guaranteed with this squad. They're obviously losing the tight games like they did with Portland last night. 105-113. They had, and that only reason that score is that close, meaning 8, was because they had a furious rally at the end of the game to make it somewhat close. I mean, Portland was beating them up. So you're right, BT. I mean, they could easily fall down to 7 in this, because they're only 3 games up on the 6th seed.
They're 4 now. They're in the 4 spot now. 12 games. Oh, they're not going to catch the Raptors. They're a half a game in front of the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
They are game in front of the Sixers. They are 2.5 in front of the Bucks, and I believe 3 in front of the Miami Heat.
Yep.
So if any of those teams get really hot and they continue to be a 500 team, they can absolutely – I almost expect them at this point to maybe drop down to the 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah.
Now, if you drop down to 6 and you play Indy in the first round, you wouldn't mind that.
No, it's not a
bad
thing.
Even though Oladipo's been great and they played above what we thought they would be, blah, blah, blah. You'd love to play the Pacers in round one.
No doubt.
But you don't want to play the Raptors in round one.
No chance.
You don't want to lose to Kyrie Irving.
Don't fall to eight.
In round one.
They got 3.5 games of wiggle room. Hopefully Kevin Love comes back next week like he said he was.
Got enough of love for you. March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the Go with March Madness Live app. Or listen on Westwood One. Tiki and Tierney, third hour's coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.